All right, hello and welcome to today's episode of Convergence for Dummies. I'm Cullen Kuhn.
I'm Danny Engel.
And we've got a great episode on tap for you guys today. We will be talking about convergence, some examples, how it's advanced through the years, the good and bad of convergence, and the future of convergence.
First off, we're going to take a look at what is convergence, and Campbell, Martin, and Vabos here define convergence as the technological merging of media content across various platforms.
And then Henry Jenkins, who our classes read earlier in the semester, talked about multiple different kinds of convergence, but two types of convergence that we're going to focus on today is technological convergence, which is the digitization of all media content, and then economic convergence, which is the horizontal integration of the entertainment industry, which talks about different media companies that own smaller media companies.
It's more at the corporate level for economic convergence.
Yeah, and then going into it some more, convergence on, I guess, a personal level. We see convergence and how it plays out every day in our personal lives. As we've seen telephones, cell phones, laptops, gaming systems, they all do the same thing.
Do almost TVs. Anything on an iPhone now that you couldn't before.
Yeah, so an example, I guess, is you can watch TV on your cell phone, you can watch TV using your Xbox, you can watch TV using your cable company, you can watch TV using your laptop. So kind of the convergence of the medium of TV into all these different devices is a perfect example of technological convergence.
Yeah, so you can access all of these at the same time on one device.
Exactly.
So one of the big focuses that's come through technological convergence is the emphasis on just being easier for the user to use and just access everything they need to quickly.
Yeah, and one way that technological convergence has been made easier for users is the increase and move towards app-based technology. So back in the day, a user would need to go on a different device to do any different sort of media interaction, whether it's gaming, phone calls, texting, emails, TV. But now, using different apps on one device, the user can access all these different types of media using one device, which really makes it easier for users and people to get different things done, not only at the same time, but quicker and using one device instead of many.
Yeah, looking at like the iPhone or the MacBook, you see you can access books, you can watch movies, you can go on the internet, Spotify and music's all on there. You can really do it all now in one place and easy to use.
Yeah, and one, I guess, result of technological convergence and the merging of all these different medias to one device instead of many is like the increase in streaming services for movies, TV, and music. So we've seen companies like Spotify and Netflix and Hulu kind of moving users away from traditional cable television and instead using these streaming services, because now the users can pick whatever they want. They can access it at any point as long as they have a cell phone, a tablet, a laptop, and they can access whatever program they want more quickly.
And bring in like the, you know, watch whenever you want aspect to it instead of having to sit down at a certain time or go to a TV. You can really watch it wherever you want, whenever you want, all in the same place.
And then an example of economic convergence in this section comes also with Spotify, making these deals with different streaming services like Hulu and Showtime. So for example, the college discount on Spotify, for $5 you get Spotify, Showtime and Hulu all in one package, so kind of converging these three different streaming platforms
under one source of income and one company, essentially.
Exactly. It makes it much easier for the users and maybe people who don't have the economic freedom to buy all these separate subscriptions, like a college student, makes it easier for them to kind of get it all in one.
And incentivizing all this, use of these different forms of media and services here. Something that has paved the way for technological convergence to go where it has nowadays is just the hardware behind technology itself is changing and converging. You see a lot of improvements in technology or new types of phones really making it possible to bring this together, including just like the increase in the internet and the capabilities that something like a phone or an Xbox, where you see all these media formats in one place.
Yeah, and we've seen with the increase in technology throughout the years and the increase in what hardware and different types of devices are able to do has really lent itself to the really rapid increase in technological convergence and kind of push convergence into a new light. As we've seen growing up, we've gone from using maybe listening to music on an iPod and having a cell phone in different devices. Now with the increase in these types of hardware that are being produced, we can now have both in one. And not only that, but we can add TV, we can add movies, you can add
internet,
pretty much anything you want.
Yeah. And to push that towards economic convergence, these companies are really using the technology to their advantage here. Like you see Apple really trying to promote buying an iPhone and continuing to buy their product, or buying an iPhone and then having it connect with an iMac or an Apple Watch. So they're really trying to use these to their advantage and get you to buy their product. And on top of that, too, the some of these other companies that we discussed, like Spotify, and some of these media companies are using this to their advantage, too, to really join up all these different corporations or different media companies together to, you know, use them in some form.
Yeah, and these new types of technology that we've been talking about, such as app-based technology, cell phones, laptops, tablets, they give users some more freedom and control in terms of what they can access, what they want to access, when they can access things. So users now, instead of only being able to watch a certain television program at a certain time on a certain device, they can now access it on their own personal device at any time throughout the day. Pretty much, and it's all a little bit more just easier to access for the user, and getting all these different types of media into one device, one app, like we've been talking about, has really just opened the door for users and giving them kind of ultimate control and freedom as to what they can do with different types of media.
I think one thing that's come out of the technology too is, like you said, the freedom. So freedom with these apps and freedom of what you can do. I think not only does that make it easier for these non-hardware technology companies, so these like actual media companies, so Netflix, Hulu, any like Fox, all these different ones, to create an app on that technology. So they, from the corporate and economic standpoint, they work together to, you know, supplement each other. And also, looking back to the user, just provide all these different various outlets for them.
Yeah, so it seems as if you're saying corporate America, or these corporate companies, the user and the hardware kind of companies, kind of all joining together and feeding off of one another in order to kind of create this technology that's both easy for media companies to create, getting all their stuff into one app, good for the hardware companies because they're able to produce these devices, keep advancing them, and good for the user because everything's just easier to access.
Yeah, they enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, just having every sort of entertainment kind of at your fingertips. Yeah.
The companies really have full control with that too, as I'm sure the prices of these things are just going up and up, and I don't think anybody's batting an eye at that.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of gotten to a point where if you don't have one of these devices that can use all these different types of media, you're almost behind the curve in terms of what you can do as a user.
19th century type stuff.
Yeah, and just having all these types of entertainment right at your fingertips, I mean, if you don't have it, you're kind of missing out as a user.
You really are disconnected from the world, basically. Yeah.
All right, so another important aspect of convergence is kind of what it does socially for its users. So we've talked about different things like bringing all these types of technology together, but now as a social aspect, we've seen how things like social media and other kind of apps and things like that have brought people together.
It's really connecting the world. Yeah.
Yeah, just bringing people together, giving them a voice on something that's free and easy to access, such as Twitter, Instagram. People can, you know, make certain statements. They can advocate for things. They can advocate against things. It kind of gives people a voice that they haven't had in the past.
Yeah, and really the big interaction part of that too is you can interact with people in that form, and you can look to other stuff. You can interact with people you know, on your Xbox and video games, and even I think Spotify has like a friends thing, so it's really finding its way into every form of media here, essentially.
Yeah, and convergence has kind of made interaction between people as easy as it's ever been, because you can go on pretty much any app you have these days. There's some sort of messenger or way to interact with different users, so it kind of brings people together no matter where they are. Like if you're on Twitter, you could be halfway across the world and you could be talking to someone and having a discussion about maybe something that you've never talked about before. So not only bring people together, but bring cultures together.
It's a whole new immediacy factor, just essentially being right next to or with anybody.
Yeah, like you just said, like putting the headset on and playing Xbox, you're playing a game, you're talking to a friend, all on one kind of device in one thing. So it's kind of brought these different types of interaction and media and gaming all into one. So who knows what the future holds, but kind of where we're at now is somewhere we've never been before in terms of social interaction.
How
and
much closer it could get, or how much more connection there can be. So for the next segment, we're going to look at TV as a medium and how it's reached this convergence era and where it came from. So really look at how it came along from its creation to convergence, basically, the whole transition.
So first off, we have the earliest TV history is the broadcast era, or also known as the network era, which was from the 1940s to the 1980s. So basically, the only networks that you had were the major networks, which were ABC, NBC, and CBS. There was no cable, and it was broadcast only. So when these channels were going, they were going, and when they weren't, they weren't. So you had TV at just kind of certain amount of times, and at other times, there wouldn't be TV as...
Limited options.
Yeah, definitely very, very limited options. And then the programs that these early networks were giving to their viewers were anthology dramas, sitcoms, quiz shows, news, soap operas, and drama. And the audience for these types of programs were the household, so the broadcasting was targeted at the widest possible audience using the LOP method, the least objectionable programming. So broadcasting to a large audience using less controversial topics so that they can kind of bring the most viewers and users into one.
All about quantity.
Yeah. So, I mean, using kind of the quality over quantity method, like you just said. And then, how are these early TV networks financed? And that was through sponsorships. They used commercial breaks. So it was great for the user, as it was free for the user to watch anything. All they had to do was buy the set. And once you buy the set and have the antenna, you could watch whatever for free, because we'd have these corporate sponsorships and commercial breaks that would kind of pay for the programming so that the user could just watch and enjoy instead of having to worry about paying for certain programming.
Money's coming from somewhere else. And then after that, it expanded to the post-network era, or multi-channel era, which is, you know, late 20th century, so the 1980s, and that extended all the way into the 2000s. And the networks here expanded from, you know, those kind of big three. There's these broadcast networks that were discussed, and then syndicated programming, and also cable TV really became a thing here. So there are all these cable TV channels that we're used to growing up with. So you saw, program-wise, you saw the broadcast programs, so these same, you know, sitcoms and dramas, they were still there. They just evolved a little bit. And then cable came about, so there's basic cable, and that often showed reruns of movies, and started the concept of niche programming, so where they really target a group or target a concept, because at this point they're looking at more of a success in a certain realm instead of just a, you know, general watching. So that's stuff like, you know, maybe Food Network, like Golf Channel, stuff like that. And then there's also premium cable, which is sort of premium content idea, so additional pricing. There were also, they had these movies shown. They showed some original movies again, and then there's a lot of, well, later on there were some original programming. So one example we thought of was, you know, The Sopranos, so some of these kind of classics, but the premium level. And, you know, demographically, when it came to the audience, they used this concept called narrowcasting, where they targeted these audiences instead of the general audience by very demographic factors. So oftentimes that was age, sex, race, just the kind of main demographic categories there during the post-network era.
Yeah, and you can even see in the post-network era kind of just the different types of media kind of coming together and becoming a little bit more narrow, so you could watch about just about anything you wanted on the TV. Pretty much anything you wanted to find, you could find it, because now these programs were starting to realize that people kind of wanted what they wanted when they wanted, so they would create these programs in order for people to kind of find what they want and watch it whenever they want.
And beyond that, they the financing behind that was a couple newer models. They stuck with commercial breaks for both their broadcast channels and the basic cable channels, which still exists today, but they started to move to this monthly subscription fee style, and that was where premium cable came in. So users pay, this is where the users themselves are paying to subscribe to this set of premium exclusive channels, and that's where the user starts to come in with money.
Yeah, and some of these like premium channels, like some examples are, say, HBO or Showtime, that were originally just TV channels, but now have moved, obviously, into the streaming platforms. But back then, these channels were creating original content, original movies produced by, say, HBO or Showtime or Cinemax that you could only watch on their channel on TV. So if you wanted that channel, you had to get the subscription fee. So that's kind of the origination of where this whole monthly subscription
they
came
kind
from.
Of started to kind of get this vibe of almost like a better quality when they do these, whether that's true or not, this sort of exclusive content here.
So that brings us to the era that we currently live in, which is the convergence era. So basically, from the 2000s on, the convergence era brought us broadcast networks, syndicated programming, the same old type stuff that we'd always had, but now there's just an explosion of cable channels like we'd never seen before. And not to mention that there is also streaming platforms. So I mean, if you thought you could find anything in the post network era, now you could quite literally find anything. So some of the programs still had broadcast, still had basic cable, still had premium cable, but now companies were starting to add in the streaming factor.
And you also saw some of these, like, kind of these normal established methods and programs or types of programming forming new ways. Like reality TV became a big thing in the convergence era. And niche programming continued, but I'm sure the amount of that was more. And like Colin said, streaming is the new big one. You know?
Yeah. So, being 20-some-year-old college students, we've kind of lived through both the post-network era and the convergence era, and just kind of what I've seen, I guess, growing up and to now, just the different things that you can find pretty much anywhere, online, on TV, pretty much wherever you can find it. The amounts of different types of programs is truly amazing, honestly, because you can go on Netflix, you can find any movie about anything, you can find documentaries, comedies, sports movies, movies about nature, you can quite literally find anything you want, and it's kind of a far cry from where we were back when we were growing up, and where you had your basic cable channels and that was it. And even the explosion of cable has given us all these different kinds of like niche channels that really target a super specific audience.
Yeah, microcasting was the new audience. The audience target here, which microcasting goes beyond just beyond the demographics of the post-network era. It really looked at like people's viewing habits and interests instead of just, you know, age and gender. So they really look at like these interests. They started these like recommended what you should watch type stuff, which that gets into all this data mining that they watch. But so this really tries to personalize the content for you.
Yeah, exactly. And going off that personalization, we've kind of seen how like TV and the home have kind of moved away from each other. So back in the broadcast era and the post-network era, kind of the focal point of the home and where everyone gathered around was the TV. But now in the convergence era, television has kind of become, with all the technological convergence and different apps that you can use to access different types of entertainment, we've kind of seen how television has become more of like a personalized experience, an individual experience. So, I mean,
getting comfy in your own bed instead of sitting around the TV.
Exactly.
You know?
Mom can watch, you know, her show on Netflix on her iPad in her room, and I can sit in my bed in my room and watch whatever I want to watch on my laptop, and just that
gets rid of the family fights too. Yeah.
It does get rid of the family fights, but it's just interesting how TV's kind of moved away from being one big group thing to more of an individual thing, and we've seen that through microcasting and these premium cable and these niche kind of programming that kind of targets a specific audience instead of the bigger audience and broader one as a whole.
And as we were mentioning before, when programs targeted quantity, you do see a lot of these like more quality and targeted programs, but at the same time, the just the amount of programs themselves, and especially through some of these networks or streaming formats, there is also still some sort of like quantity aspect to it. You know, there's tons of shows to choose from now instead of four, you know.
All right, for our next segment, we're going to talk about the good and bad of convergence, and there is certainly lots on both sides of the argument for this, so we can start off with the good. So obviously we've seen how convergence has really been kind of a driving factor in technological advancements and kind of the advancement of society. So we've seen how kind of social interaction and different things like that can kind of be furthered using technological convergence. So the different ways in which people can interact with each other, kind of the list can go on, and just ways in which people can connect using video games, social media, just all kinds of different apps.
The new social world is in media. You know, it's definitely a pro for convergence.
Yeah, and I guess another pro would just be the easy access that users have now to different types of technology. So being able to talk on your phone and play a video game at the same time, or just being able to open your phone and have just a multitude of different apps, and that you can access all kinds of different media and entertainment using just one small device.
Yeah, that's what Colin just touched on with the one small device. That definitely a major one is just the convergence itself of having it all in one place, whether it's a phone with you on the go, or a laptop or computer or Xbox, you know, it's all there and it's all over.
Yeah, it kind of brings everything to the people, gives everyone a chance to access these certain types of media. And kind of going off that idea and the social media ideas, convergence has kind of given the average Joe a voice. So anyone can go on Twitter, anyone can go on Instagram, anyone can go on Facebook. If they have the app or have a computer, or have access to the internet, they can get these apps. They can make their account, and they can kind of go on there and make their voice heard. So
there's
they
not
can
much stopping anybody from, you know, sharing their opinions or putting it out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And these kind of social media apps can be used to kind of they can be good and bad, because they can be bad in terms of people can be putting out, you know, bad messages or slandering people or whatnot, but they can also be good in terms of advancing social good and using these kind of platforms as advocacy for important issues.
See a lot of movements starting online.
Exactly. And kind of giving these people a voice, they can kind of build off each other constructively and kind of build up their voice to a point that even politicians might take a notice.
Definitely politicians taking notice there. And there's obviously a lot of there are some bad sides to convergence, and I guess that a lot of those can just be, you know, bad sides of media or bad sides of advertising. You know, some of these fall on the corporate end, a big red flag in the minds of a lot of users is just data mining, where these corporations or these web companies are able to monitor your browsing habits, or, you know, and we talked about that in the, you know, in not anonymous and stuff like that, but also you notice how your advertisements on social media online are tailored to you personally, and well, that could be good for your interests. There are some bads that can come out of that. I remember, you know, Target once got in a little hot water for sending a pamphlet of goods to a teenage girl that said congrats on the baby after she had been browsing online about pregnancy and baby products, and don't think her parents were too happy when that showed up on the porch. So yeah, that's definitely a bad side.
A tough way to find out that news, yeah, for a parent.
Some freedom of what you look at can be limited, you know?
Yeah, and we've definitely seen the bad in convergence in that we create these accounts, we put our names in them, we put our information in them, and that gives these larger companies the same access that we get to them, they get to us, so they can access private information that maybe we didn't want them to have. So we saw that with like the Facebook data mining whole scandal that went down. Yeah. And it kind of just comes down to being as smart as you can as a user, and not kind of disclosing too much, if possible, too much information about yourself to these certain companies and sites.
Just understanding what of your information can be viewed that you put online, which is everything.
Pretty much
everything. So
yeah, and I guess one
consciousness
thing
about
that you people could be more conscious about, that I know I fall under this category, is I guess the terms and conditions for certain sites and certain apps and programs. I mean, most of us just
a lot hidden in there.
Just scroll right through it and click agree, but we don't really take the time to look at maybe different clauses or statements that they make that can maybe warn us about certain privacies that they can have access to and whatnot. So
those those are the types of things that brought us the Facebook data mining and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people did not know that that was part of that.
Yeah, so I guess just got to be careful as a user, because a lot of these companies make it so that they can have access to whatever information that you've made public or put in your account. So just being careful as a user is super important in the convergence era.
So for the last segment here, we'll take a look at the future of convergence, or a big question is where will this go? Because we're not near the end of technology and media, and I'm sure we're not near the end of media convergence.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if the convergence can only go on from here. There's obviously, we're living in an era where convergence is kind of at an all-time high, but there, as we've seen, companies continue to amaze us and shock us with what they can do with their devices. And
none of us saw it coming to where it is now, and so, you know.
So yeah, you kind of got to imagine that it's only going to advance from here, and who knows, maybe in the future you'll have one device that can transform into five different devices, and you can have it all in one that fits in your pocket and has everything you need on it. And maybe that is the case, maybe that isn't, and I guess only time will tell.
Only time will tell. It seems everything gets what's necessary for a piece of technology is smaller or simpler, or you never know.
And I guess the one thing that companies can do in this kind of rapid advancement and convergence of technologies is they can kind of trap you in these devices that they can continue to improve and hike up the prices. And at the end of the day, once people get roped into them, it's almost as if you need them to keep up with what's going on and what other people have. So it kind of gives some control to these companies.
Yeah, I think Apple is probably a good company to look at here. I think they pretty much just have a leash around everybody that's bought their products. You know, I mean, they catch you with the iPhone, and then that next thing you know, that connects to your computer. Then, you know, your next thing you know, it's all convenient in there. And after that, next thing you know, you're buying a new phone and buying a new computer, and you're buying a watch, and then who knows what's next. And I think that even for Apple, a lot of the times, like the recent phones, people even complained about how they don't have a headphone jack or stuff, but I doubt that their numbers are going down, or even in this whole slowing your phone down scandal.
Yeah,
I don't think they really lost much business on that.
No, absolutely not. And that and the whole battery scandal they had, where they're kind of your battery would just start deteriorating if you didn't get the certain update or whatnot. But
full
like
control,
you said,
yeah,
people still buy it. They continue to hike the prices up, but people are still buying it. And at the end of the day, if people continue to buy it, they're going to continue to make it and continue these trends. So, I mean, like you said, some of these companies are starting to have us on a leash, and it's kind of up to the users to change this sort of trend.
Yeah, and that could go down a problematic path. At the same time, it could just be one of those things that just is the way it is, I guess. I think I've bought the last couple iPhones, and I know full well that I have been kind of caught in this Apple trap, but I know that, you know, that's at least at this point how it goes, and unless they really start getting absurd with this, I think I'll probably be stuck in it.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. Like, it's almost as if once you buy one thing, you kind of want to get the next, and you want the newest thing and the best thing, and they advertise them on TV, and
change is hard.
Yeah.
You know, if you switch up to a Samsung, you lose the computer.
Yeah,
you lose the iMessage, you lose your anything, like, all that transfer stuff. So
yeah, I mean, who knows what the future holds, but it'll be exciting to see how convergence and different technologies advance throughout the future.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the way convergence is. It's the, you never know.
The nature of the beast.
Nature of the beast. All right, thanks for listening to Convergence for Dummies.
Yeah, that's all we got for you today. We hope you'll listen to our next episode, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.